Coming to you live from the city that spawned the band Tesla, it's the Nate Darling Show with Becca Costello, Ted Sampson, and Christiana D. Now, with a headbanging song in his heart, here's Nate.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to another week of the Nate Darling Show. Christiana's back.
Hey.
Yay.
I'm here.
The prodigal daughter has returned. So to speak.
Something like that. I don't even remember how many weeks it's been. It feels like a million.
I believe two.
Two? Is that it?
Yep.
It feels
really
like a million.
Has it been a month? I feel like it's been forever.
You were busy. We'll get into kind of some of the things you were doing.
Yeah.
Also, coming up on the show today, a man who went to the police because he'd been cheated. A classy lady spat. I'll tell you who those ladies were. And, yeah. How do you get into an accident while taking a breathalyzer test? That happened.
Oh, boy.
While taking a breathalyzer test. We'll talk about all of those things. Becca not with us this week, so we are a threesome.
A menage.
A menage.
Wait, that doesn't mean anything.
I don't know.
What does menage even mean?
I don't know. But that's one of the French words I'm not sure of.
Somebody ask Google Translate.
No.
See what happens.
Is that my job?
Yes. Okay. All of my computers are doing things, Ted, so yes.
All right.
It is your job. While you're doing that, Christiana, while you're looking stuff up, Christiana, you've got a big charity event coming up.
I do. I have a giant big charity event coming up, which I think is partly responsible for some of me missing some stuff. Maybe not. Maybe that was all travel.
I believe it is. It was a combination of, I'm not going to be here. I've got this. I know you've had work travel.
I spent September traveling to exciting locations and not so exciting locations.
Right.
Almost every weekend. So this past weekend was my first weekend at home, which was fantastic. But yeah, I do. I have a big event coming up this Friday. It is the Kids Are Why, the letter Y, tasting and benefit auction, benefiting the YMCA of Superior, California, which is an organization that is near and dear to my heart by virtue of, I grew up in the YMCA in my hometown, the San Pedro Peninsula YMCA. Did a lot of camping, did a lot of stuff down there. Love it. Love the Y programs. So when I moved to Sacramento, got involved up here. And every year we have a big charity auction, live and silent auction event. This year it is being held at the Masonic Temple Ballroom.
Ooh.
Yeah, fancy.
You got a double ooh.
That's
pretty good.
On J and 12th Street. Tickets are still available. I'd like to say they're going to sell it tomorrow. I don't know if they are. Maybe they will if everybody rushes to the computer now and buys them. But tickets are $45. And for that, it's a bargain. You get pretty much all you can eat from our 15.
Hey, well, all right, sir. Here we go there.
Oh, there you go. Exactly what it's going to sound like on Friday.
Oh, awesome.
Or not.
Oh.
something like that. I feel like buying a cow suddenly. I don't know why. all you can eat from our sponsoring restaurants, 15 of them in all, including such fine establishments as Selin's, Crew, I'm going to blank on a lot of the other ones, 7 wineries, 3 breweries. I know the breweries by heart because I helped
sample.
Get those.
Let's hear those.
That is a Hoppy Brewery.
Nice.
River City Brewery and Rubicon Brewery.
Rubicon.
Love Rubicon.
So
Rubicon's
great. Three places I may or may not have spent time drinking beer.
Little Monkey Knife Fight.
Yep.
For the kids.
Yep.
You gotta drink for the kids.
Yeah, drink for the kids.
Yay.
It's gonna be fantastic. We have a wide range of prizes to bid on for people who come to drop a lot of dimes and people who only have maybe a dime or two to drop. We are glad to take any dimes you have. And 100% of the proceeds from tickets and from auction items go directly to scholarship for our youth programs. So teaching kids to swim, sports, camp, youth and government program that I work with. Also other comedy spot connection, the fabulous and talented Greg Sabin.
Oh.
As his alter ego Newton Carruthers is going to be our MC for the evening.
That's fantastic.
So that'll be fun. We're looking forward to that. And thank you to Roseville Auto Mall for giving us money and allowing Greg to come in that
persona.
And
Newton Carruthers.
And
this all benefits who now?
It all benefits the YMCA of Superior, California. We serve a giant geographic area here from Oroville to Woodland to Sacramento, all over. And I don't know if the song is going to be played. It should be. It's in our heads at all events, but
young man, get yourself off.
Now, if one wanted to get tickets, how would one go about doing that?
One would very easily go to YMCASuperiorCal.org.
Okay.
And you'll see a big link there right on the front page. Or if you message the Nate Darling Show, I'll make sure to check for that.
Well, if here's what we're going
to
do.
Tell you how to get tickets.
Here's what we're going to do. We're going to put it in the show description today.
Ooh.
So
fancy.
Make sure you get me the exact link.
I'll put it in the show description.
I'll put it in the show description, and it'll be on our Facebook page.
Tickets are $45. You can buy them online. No service charge. And like I said, 100% of that goes directly to helping kids. So
no,
we are not taking any overhead out of that.
No convenience fee?
No convenience fee.
Oh, that's convenient.
It is convenient without the fee. So
wow.
we hope to see you there. It really is. It's going to be a great night. We've put a lot of work into it, but it's a party, and it's going to be fun.
Yeah, 15 restaurants.
Not a sit-down. It's a mingle thing. There'll be a little jazz band from a local high school performing there, which is fantastic. You will not go home hungry and potentially not sober either. However, obviously, have a designated driver
right.
or take a cab. It's for the kids.
Cool.
So,
for the kids.
See you there.
And that's why you've missed part of the last 2 weeks.
That is why I missed. And let me drop, before we move on,
yeah.
I'm going to just quickly run through a couple of the awesome auction items that we have. A big thank you to support that we have had for several years now from Mr. Pickles Midtown, who we love. Brian Crowell, Sacramento Comedy Spot, donated classes and tickets, which is awesome.
There you go.
We have dinners at restaurants all over town. Other theater tickets and trips. We've got, you like your North Lake Tahoe, you want your South Lake Tahoe, you want your Disneyland, we got it all.
Wow.
So come and see if you can be the lucky bidder to walk away with some cool prizes.
And that is coming up this Friday.
This Friday, 6:30 p.m. in the Masonic Temple Ballroom.
So get on that, people.
Grab your date. Show off your philanthropic side.
Where is this? How dressy does one have to be to go to this event?
One does not need to be too dressy. I would say it's probably, if you came right from work, you'd be fine. If you wanted to go for the cocktail party swank, you wouldn't be out of place. But we will take you. You come as you are, and you bring your checkbook, and we'll be happy to see you.
All right. Booty shorts and crop tops it is.
For everyone. Come dressed as your favorite village person. No, don't do that.
No, because some of them are very racially insensitive these days.
Get that one. But construction worker we would definitely take.
Sure.
So
you want to take off your hat though, because you're inside. Hold on.
It's fair. YMCA. It's fun to
stay. All right. So that's that. I have an announcement.
Ooh.
And I announced this on Facebook, so I'm going to turn this down.
What is it?
The announcement that, and you might have seen it anyway, because I did announce it on Facebook. As I have returned to the life of a runner, and I have been running.
We were running. Sorry, I can't help but do a Forrest Gump.
Running, running, and running, running, and running, running, and running, running.
Sorry.
You know how everybody announced... Yeah, I stopped before we get too far into the Black Eyed Peas. That goes to show how good they are. Because we did this in a living room, and they had a very expensive studio. My goal for 2014... is, and this is weird because it's not a New Year's resolution. This is going to happen.
Is it a Canadian Thanksgiving resolution?
Sure. Because as we record this, it's Canadian Thanksgiving. The thing I'm going to do is at least one time a month, I'm going to run a race of 5K or longer in calendar year 2014.
That is cool.
All right. Good job.
Super cool.
And here's the bonus. It starts with a turkey trot on
Yay.
Thanksgiving. That I'm doing with my friend Hootie and Mrs. Hootie. Hootie was here last Friday, actually.
And
for the
show. I'm sad I missed Hootie because I feel like I know him. I hear about your adventures.
He loves
and
you.
Really?
Because you give me almost as much crap as he does. So that's what
I love you too, Hootie.
There you go. So with them and another couple. So it's going to be I will be the fifth wheel in that 5K turkey trot. I'm going to do that in Prunedale, and then I found one
at Prunedale.
It's over in the Monterey Salinas area. And in December, I haven't signed up for it yet, but I'm going to do the Flapjacks 5K, which is an East Sac.
Ooh, cool. Are there flapjacks involved?
There can be.
Like the donut dash?
I don't believe you have to run and eat pancakes.
Oh.
I believe
that's
there are.
But I think we just figured out what event we're going to have to organize in 2014.
So I've got those. Obviously the donut dash is coming up in March. So I'm looking for stuff in January and February now. And one another thing I want to do in March, it's the last weekend in March, is there's a 5K at Angel Stadium.
Ooh,
that
awesome.
Starts in the parking lot and then goes and it finishes actually in Angel Stadium. And as an Angel fan, it's a huge, it would be really cool for me. And that's on Saturday, I think the 28th of March, whatever that Saturday is, the last Saturday in March. And then Monday night is opening night at home. So
awesome. So you got your weekend set.
Yeah. And part of what I'm going to do is I'm going to run a lot of them in the Sacramento area because there's tons of things like that. But I want to incorporate, this has kind of been a goal of mine for a few years, but I've been just getting fat and lazy instead of doing it. And now that I've lost 65 pounds and plus whatever else I'm going to lose, it's a reality for me that I can go somewhere and go, oh, I'm going to go to, let's say, San Diego this weekend. And you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to run a 10K and then I'm going to hang out for the weekend.
Yeah.
So that's kind of the goal. So that's
super cool.
That's what's going on.
Congratulations. That,
awesome.
That sounds fun.
And it shall be.
Well,
so
not fun for me, but it's fun for you.
Well, yeah. I mean, anybody who wants to do stuff with me, I'm going to announce whatever ones I'm doing, especially the ones around SAC. And if you want to join me, feel free.
All right.
Awesome.
Because they're all open to the public. It's not like I can stop you. No, don't do it. So yeah.
Are you in town for Thanksgiving? Are you do the run to feed the hungry?
No, I'm going to follow up with my Thanksgiving tradition of having it with the Hooties, and then we're going to do the turkey trot in Prunedale.
Oh right, you said
right.
Sorry.
I don't know.
I realized it was the same
time. If you'd heard the podcast, okay, you'd know that. Yeah, turkey trots are always on Thanksgiving.
Wait, that's the podcast we're doing right now?
The weekend before.
Oh.
I don't know.
I think we've just entered Spaceballs territory right now.
A little
now? Just now.
Just now.
Right
just now.
Now.
You know what's weird is I saw something on the internet with like, it was like your Monday motivation on the Chive, thechive.com,
yeah,
which I'm sure you hate.
Mostly.
Yeah. But I dig the Chive. Sometimes they've got, mostly it's pictures of chicks and their boobs. But they have other cool things there too. And this was a poster of, it was like motivational things for Monday, and that the Spaceballs thing happened to be one of them. So, coincidence.
So, or conspiracy.
I avoid the run to feed. Every year I'm like, oh, if I'm in town, I should do the run to feed the hungry. And then I get closer to the event, and I just think there's so many people, and I gotta like get to eat at ESAC, or it's kind of cold, and I just want to stay home and watch the Macy's parade. And
yeah,
I don't know. I was always kind of a fan of Paul Burke's Sit to Feed the Hungry.
Yes.
Which
yes.
I think is a brilliant event model.
Paul Burke from Blacktop Comedy in Roseville.
Does his annual Sit to Feed the Hungry.
Yeah.
You can go and spectate the Run to Feed the Hungry.
Since you mentioned Macy's, this was announced. For the first time ever, there are going to be Macy's stores open on Thanksgiving Day this year.
Congratulations, Macy's.
Yeah, I don't know how to feel about that.
It's Black Friday,
it's the creep. It's the creep, man.
Yeah, I mean, do I really need moderately mid to high-end clothing?
But
yeah,
this year it's
on Thanksgiving.
It's Thanksgiving Mooka or something. Cause it,
oh, yeah.
I saw it on the Today Show, so it must be a thing.
I saw it on the Colbert Report.
But
Ted's people.
The war on Christmas.
Ted's,
the war on
Ted's people have taken over. Ted's people have taken over Thanksgiving this year.
For the first time since like 1880 or something like that.
Well, this is the first day of Hanukkah coincides with Thanksgiving, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
It's not, I mean, they've coincided before, just not the first day. I don't know. Sorry about that, everyone. We got to take over everything we can.
As long as you've apologized, that's all that matters.
Oh, good.
Well, we forgive you.
Sorry about Jesus. No, I'm kidding. Wasn't our fault. No, that's not a thing.
So. No, it was the Romans. You were just there.
I was at a fabric store over the weekend, and they already have out like all their Christmas. Well, I think they have their Christmas fabrics all year round, but they had a very small, per tradition, a small end cap of Hanukkah-related crafts and fabric. And part of it was like, I should make Ted like a table runner or something. And then all I could hear was this is a minor celebration in Judaism.
Aww.
It's not a big deal. And I'm like, I don't know, does Ted want a Hanukkah-themed table runner? Maybe he doesn't.
I would use it, and I appreciate the thought, but it's so minor. I would take the gift. This is very minor.
I'm going to file a complaint with the store management that there's no like Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur fabric.
Yom Kippur runner.
No.
I feel bad.
Do you have a table that would need a runner? Do you have one that would take a runner?
I think so, yeah.
Okay.
I have a dining room table.
All I can sew are rectangles, which is why it would be a table runner or a full tablecloth, because
I can't
make anything more complicated than that.
That's fair.
I could make you an apron.
Ooh.
If you want an apron.
I don't know if I do, but thank you for the thought. I was trying to think of a Yom Kippur runner, like all the like sins that you committed during the year would be like, crocheted into it. That's all I can think of for that.
That would be awesome.
Yeah.
So today, I'm wearing a Team Canada hockey hat because it's Canada. It's Canadian Thanksgiving as we record this. And I'm wearing one of my multiple Portland Timbers shirts because the Timbers are in first place.
Yay.
I know you're all excited.
Wait, which sport is that again?
That would be Major League Soccer.
Oh, right.
What's the score of the Dodger game right now? It's kind of all I
want to know. It was 2-0 the last I looked.
2-0, bottom of the seventh. Okay.
Spoiler alert.
Go Blue.
Yeah, Just kidding.
Spoiler alert from 2 days ago. So, yeah, the Timbers took on Seattle. It was on ESPN on Sunday night.
Up ESPN against, 2?
No, ESPN.
Wow. Whoa.
The mothership.
It's really come up.
And it was a 1-0 Timbers win. It was a very good game. And Portland in first place with two games left. As the champion LA Galaxy are fighting for their playoff lives.
Oh. You look nervous, Christiana.
Yes.
Or disinterested. One of those two.
Well.
So that's my Major League Soccer update. And I'm very excited. And you mentioned
I do like MLS.
Yeah, and I feel a little Christmassy because I have a red hat and a green shirt.
Ho ho ho.
Green Giant.
He's kind of Christmassy, I guess. He's green. I don't know. Maybe he's not.
So yesterday, of course, Sunday, was a big football day. Not just football, but football. And I don't know if you missed this or not, guys, but the Patriots won, and the radio announcers were very excited.
Brady's in the gun. Bolden to his left. He's got the Who Man on the right wing with Dobson to the right.
The Who Man.
Charlie and Tompkins left. Brady throws it to the end zone for Kenbrell. Tompkins leaping.
He got it. Touchdown. Patriots.
Kenbrell Tompkins.
Brady's back. That's your quarterback. Hold off the building. Unicorns. Show ponies. Where's the beef?
Did he say, where's the beef?
He did. Unicorn, show ponies, where's the beef?
Oh, that sums it up.
When it's total despair, 14 years in the league, this situation after situation he's been through, and to elevate a rookie, my God.
Pegasi.
My God. Wait, I'm sorry. Who's 14 years in the league?
Tom Brady.
This is about Tom Brady?
Yep.
Wow. He threw a pass to a rookie, and that was...
Touchdown pass to win the game with 5 seconds left.
It was exciting. It sounds exciting.
I kind of like those. You get swept up in the moment. It's boring. You get it. You know, you're there. Were they in studio, or were they actually at the...
No, that's the actual... If you were listening to the Patriots on the radio, that was the call you heard.
Okay, but they were, like, in the stadium.
Yes.
Well, that's what... Okay. Yeah. Yeah, then you go, guys.
Yeah,
you go.
Show ponies. Pegasi.
I'm excited for you.
Mermaids.
I just want to know, and the guy who was doing that is Scott Zolak, who is a former backup quarterback for the Patriots.
Oh.
And I just want to know where your mind is that you suddenly start yelling, unicorn, show ponies, where's the beef?
That's got to be a sound.
And what does it mean, where's the beef? I mean, that is the beef? I would assume the touchdown is the beef, right?
No.
And you found it?
No.
Exciting things.
No, I mean, I know it's from the commercial, but.
But I've never heard.
It has nothing to do with anything.
No. No.
Maybe he was envisioning a buffet and he was thinking unicorns and show ponies, but didn't see beef. I don't know. That doesn't make sense.
So, yeah, I had to play that because it's rare that you get something quite that good.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Congratulations, Patriots.
He's very excited. You know who's not excited? Sinead O'Connor.
Oh, leave Sinead alone.
No.
Nothing compares. Sorry. Somebody sing me another Sinead O'Connor song.
Exactly.
Really, like...
I don't...
I could do the whatever. I could just do like an impression of her tearing a picture of the Pope.
Yeah, pretty much.
But
you've pretty much encapsulated her career for 99% of the population. I know Becca knows another Sinead O'Connor song, but she mentioned it.
Oh, there you go.
If you'd listen to the podcast where you're sitting right next to her.
Was I supposed to listen to the... I don't listen when I record.
We're on it, okay? It's hard enough just to record. You've
just tuned out her voice altogether? Okay.
No, just turn podcasts.
I see.
Never mind.
Well, Sinead O'Connor has penned a fourth open letter.
Stop, lady.
To Miley Cyrus.
She should have saved it and done like a newsletter. Not like individual letters, right?
Yeah.
Should have just written the one and let it go.
Four. She asked the young singer to apologize because that's going to go well and informs her that her behavior has very negative consequences.
young lady.
I was...
In the fourth letter published on O'Connor's site and Facebook page, she tells Cyrus her actions have caused much backlash. Since people don't know O'Connor tweeted those years ago and has since gotten help, she's afraid people will see her as ill and unemployable. What, is she applying for jobs at the fabric store? What's going on? I mean, she's a singer. She's,
and a priest.
Yeah, and a priest. So crazy goes with the territory with those things.
Yeah.
She says she has four kids to take care of and can't allow herself to be stigmatized. On top of that, she says she's been bullied and urged to commit suicide after Miley posted the troubled tweets. Which is not okay. Let me just say, not okay to encourage anybody to commit suicide. However, you get one open letter.
Hear, hear.
One.
Yes.
I'll even give you a second one to respond. But you do not get four open letters.
No.
Because you have a problem.
Yeah. You could do four open tweets.
Yeah. That's fine because tweets. It's 140 characters. But by the time you're on your fourth open letter insisting that you're no longer mentally unstable, I think you're not helping your case.
Yeah,
does anybody remember Liquid Television on MTV?
I know. I remember it.
During
I never watched
show,
it.
It was like a bunch of little sketch-like snippets.
What was it called?
Liquid Television.
Oh, Liquid Television. That sounds vaguely familiar.
There was, one of the segments was the Aeon Flux.
That was a weird cartoon.
Which is super weird. But the one I'm thinking of now is it was like little hand puppets, and one of them was Joe Normal. And he just wandered around with a knife, like stabbing other puppets and getting really deranged, going, "But I'm normal! I'm normal! I'm normal!" And that's kind of how I feel like, yeah, on your fourth letter, where you're like, "I'm stable."
Right.
I'm stable.
Well, she concludes.
I'm stable.
She concludes her public plea in her fourth letter, saying, "You may disagree with what I advised you in my first letter. That's your entitlement. However, the letter was written in a spirit of motherly care. You're entitled to have told me to go fuck myself if you liked, but to respond in a way that has caused so much personal harm and damage to me and to people who may struggle currently with suicidal feelings, and to abuse Amanda Bynes is beyond my understanding."
Oh, you should leave Amanda alone.
Yeah, that was where Miley went bad on that one.
Yeah.
Is beyond my understanding, as is your refusal so far to apologize, along with your further calling me crazy today.
I wonder if Amanda's going to weigh in on this.
No,
has she?
He's on Facebook.
Who is?
I mean, he's on YouTube. Joe Normal. Sorry, I'm excited.
Okay.
I just had to look it up.
I was like, what are you talking about?
A little trip down memory lane here. Carry on.
On her end, Miley's keeping things lippy when it comes to Sinead. When asked if she and the 46-year-old performer would kiss and make up, Cyrus replied with, "I don't know, are we supposed to kiss?"
Because I will do that.
Is this a big publicity stunt so they can make out at the next MTV Music Awards?
I think if anything, it would be Sinead O'Connor's attempt to be noticed.
Oh.
I mean, first of all, stop writing open letters. Everybody, please stop it. If you've got something important to tell somebody, write them a closed letter. You're Sinead O'Connor. You've got representation. You can find out who Miley Cyrus's manager is, and you can send her a letter if you like. And the world doesn't have to know about it. If you're really concerned about someone's well-being, that's how you handle it. Like, if somebody's going through a bad time and they post on Facebook, "I'm going through a bad time," I send them a personal message. I don't write on their wall about, "Oh, hey, by the way."
Yeah.
Because that's just you calling attention to you for the sake of you, not you really trying to help.
Right.
Just saying.
Yeah.
Now go rip up a picture of the Pope.
Can't Miley stop responding to Sinead? Can't they just both go do whatever they do?
She could,
nope.
But it's
nope.
Not on her.
Well, okay.
It's not on her. First of all, Miley Cyrus is 20 years old, and she's got the crazy old lady writing open letters to her, and she's responding to them.
Yeah, well, she's responding in a bratty manner, too. I don't know. I don't approve of either of them.
Oh, she absolutely is, but let me put it to you this way.
Okay.
Shouldn't the 46-year-old woman know better?
Oh.
The one giving motherly advice?
Oh, I'm just saying, I'm not saying Sinead is guiltless here. I'm just saying that Miley could also just let it go.
Mm-hmm.
But they can't.
She could. But
she could.
But she's 20, and when you were 20, did you let stuff go?
I don't remember. That was a long time ago, Nate. I don't remember my 20s.
I
was drunk.
Sorry. Team Miley.
I know you are.
Team Miley.
Amanda, I guess.
We have some serious relationship news to report in a Utah neighborhood where police cited Barbie for abandoning her vehicle. That's right.
Barbie.
Oh. As you might imagine, Ken's ready to kick Barbie to the Dreamhouse curb. Oh. It all started when Barbie abandoned the family Jeep last week. An officer out patrolling the Cedar Hills suburb of Salt Lake City noticed the pink Jeep parked in the road blocking a driveway. Barbie, Ken, and the gang were asleep, so the officer left a bright orange tag on the hood that read, quote, "Abandoned vehicle." That's according to the Salt Lake City TV station, KUTV. The officer was concerned the Jeep could be swiped or involved in an accident, so he moved it into the driveway. That was nice. The tag was discovered the next morning by the father of the two sisters, who were 7 and 9 years old, who had been playing with the Jeep. The unidentified girls reportedly left it in the street after the battery died. Quote, "It had nothing to do with the girls," according to American Fork Police Lieutenant Sam Littard. That's what he told ABC News. It was his, the officer's, attempt at humor to let the residents in the area know that he'd been patrolling in the neighborhood. He thought it'd be cute to just put the tag on the car.
Aw.
Yep.
So, there you go.
I don't think Ken can kick Barbie to the curb because Barbie makes all the money. Ken is kind of just, I don't know, he's just eye candy. Am I paying too much attention to the second paragraph of that story?
You might be.
Okay.
It's entirely possible.
Could be.
So, yeah, that's what's going on in Utah. Not a whole heck of a lot, apparently.
The Nate Darling Show. Cool. Or Tool.
Whoa. All right, first up in Cool or Tool, the Patriots radio announcer's Ted.
That was very cool. I loved it. I love that spontaneous expression of joy and glee. Good for him.
Christiana?
I'm a girl. I have to think unicorns are cool.
You know, I love unbridled enthusiasm because it wasn't pre-planned. It wasn't premeditated. I cannot believe that Scott Zolak sat around and wrote out unicorns. What was the other one?
Unicorns, show ponies, and where's the beef?
Show ponies and where's the beef?
Yeah.
That was the other one.
Two things.
Yeah. So, hold on. I'm trying to do this. I'm trying to do two things at once. It's not working out.
That's a lot of things.
I know. It's terrible. Up next in Cooler Tool, open letters. Christiana.
Tool.
Yeah.
I'm going to go with that.
I'm going to go ahead of Ted, and I'm going to say open letters are absolutely Tool.
Yep.
And I'm going to say I'm going to say cool just because I think sometimes they can be a useful way to convey a message, not just to the recipient, but to make a greater point. And I'm also being difficult just to be argumentative and disagreeing with my co-hosts.
No, that's fair.
Yay!
There have been a lot of open letters to Congress lately.
Oh, God, yeah.
And finally, in Cooler Tool, cops with a sense of humor. Ted?
That's cool, yeah. Why not? Make a little happiness around the world. What am I saying? Yes, awesome.
Christiana?
It's cool, but the tool that then writes like a speak out type letter to the local paper about how cops are wasting resources and time when don't they know there's crime on the streets will be a tool.
Yeah, it's cool. I don't think it was funny. If it was supposed to be funny, not funny. I do think it was cool that he took the time to take it and move it off the street so that it would not get damaged in any way or anything like that. Because that is the true definition of a police force really looking out for all of its citizens and taking a second to do something nice.
I agree.
And oftentimes I will give the cops crap, but this time, absolutely, kudos. Not funny, but well done, sir.
It wasn't that funny.
No.
No.
So cops with a sense. But yeah, cops with a sense of humor is cool.
Yeah.
And I do like what he did. So there you go. I promised a classy lady fight.
Ooh.
I deliver a classy lady fight. Headline, Tanning Mom. We all know the Tanning Mom.
Disgusting.
How is that? She
was hurling slurs at porn star Jenna Jameson during Exotica.
I'm hurling too.
By the way, Exotica is spelled EXXXOTICA.
Very subtle. Oh my God, this is a scary, scary, scary picture.
First of all, I want to know why she's there, Tanning Mom.
I think anyone can go to Exotica.
Yeah, but she had a table, and that's what blew my mind.
Does she have movies?
I don't know.
Gross, I'm not going to look for them.
Legendary porn star Jenna Jameson had a longer line of fans at her table than did Patricia Krenzel, who is known as the Tanning Mom. And so the Tanning Mom called Jameson a whore.
A whore is someone who sells her body for sex. That is not Jenna Jameson.
She's an actress.
She's an actress.
Krenzel then moved to an autograph signing table away from Jameson. The incident occurred a couple Friday nights ago at an expo inside the New Jersey Convention and Exposition Center in Edison. Quote, Patricia and Jenna had booths right next to each other at the convention. Well, that's just good planning.
Yeah.
And Jenna had a long line of men waiting to get autographs and pictures with her. Shocker.
Uh-huh.
That's according to a rep from Krenzel's management team. Why does she have a management team? Anyway, she was equally upset that some of Jameson's promotional materials were on her table.
Oh, well, no, she didn't.
Okay, I can get that.
She should write an open letter.
Hey, whore, get your stuff off my table. Anyway, Patricia became aggravated with Jenna, which resulted in her calling her a whore to Jenna's face.
Oh, snap.
Not to her. Wait, that's better than behind her back.
Say it to my face.
Open letter, I'm telling you. That's how you solve your problems in the porn world.
But preferably four of them.
Yeah,
I mean, don't feel confined to like one letter.
Go ahead.
The size of Sinead's letters were ridiculous, too. Anyway.
You know what? It's like the Canterbury Tales, those open letters. That's right. I went there.
Oh.
I don't think there's a lot of podcasts referencing the Canterbury Tales.
Probably not.
Maybe. Jameson's reported response, what did she call me? The Tan Mom was not aware who Jenna Jameson was. What? and had never heard of her. Really? I don't believe that.
That doesn't sound redundant at all.
Jameson, who was said to have otherwise ignored the comment, the management agency said security guards moved Krenzel to another table.
Security.
A spokesman for Exotica said Krenzel moved on her own. So that's the hubbub. Whore, I moved on my own. No, we moved you. Done. That's the story.
Yeah.
What a scoop. Wow, this story keeps going, too.
Does it?
No. Oh, you don't need to read the rest of it.
Oh, yeah. Blah, 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 blah. That's the rest of it.
She had such a poor turnout.
Oh, my. Oh, well, here's the interesting part. Patricia was selling signed photos for $10 each, including of her in her famous Baywatch bikini.
She has a famous Baywatch bikini?
I don't know. Did she buy it from Carmen Electra or Pam Anderson? By the way, they wore one pieces on Baywatch, kids.
Yeah.
Krenzel, who is a Nutley, New Jersey resident, spent the evening next to Sydney Leathers, who gained notoriety as Anthony Weiner's sexting partner. By the way, GR Media manages both Sydney Leathers and Patricia Krenzel because they will apparently represent anybody.
Oh, gravy.
God. You know who's a tool? GR Media.
Yes.
Screw those guys.
Tools.
Yep, absolutely.
Oh.
Back to my home state of Vermont. This doesn't really qualify as small town news. It isn't a small town of Pulteney, Vermont, but police say a man taking an alcohol breath test while driving caused a 3-car pileup.
Oy.
Vermont State Police say alcohol was not a factor in the crash Wednesday afternoon, but that Randy Lazotte was distracted because he was using Intoxilock, which is a breath test device linked to an ignition trigger. His car.
While he was driving?
Mm-hmm.
We'll
get to that.
Okay.
His car crashed into a car stopped in front of him, pushing it into a third car. He could not be reached for comment. The Intoxilock requires drivers to provide breath sample before operating a vehicle and then give additional rolling samples while driving.
So
is that good? Who invented that technology?
Exactly.
If you're hitting the bottle as you drive, you might get too drunk.
Right. You can't just get in the car with a bottle and drink as you go. The company
seems like there could have been a safeguard to this technology.
Here it is. The company says drivers have the option of pulling over if they feel unsafe submitting to the sample while driving.
What?
Yeah, it doesn't make a lot of sense. They said GR Media be their PR people.
I know.
I'm going to write an open letter about
this. I would totally write an open letter on that one because that is the most asinine thing ever.
The option of pulling over, even if they don't have an Intoxilock.
Right, you can pull it.
Don't drive if you're drunk.
But I've seen people do those things, and you do have to really breathe in a deep breath and blow hard into the thing for an extended period of time.
Yep.
Then you pass out.
Yeah, and then you get lightheaded and crash.
I mean, is it like is there like a long tube? Can you do it while sitting upright? Or are you bending over?
I'm
seeing in my head the scene from Airplane
right.
where she's in the
oh.
manually blowing up the co-pilot. Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. That has not got into here. But yeah, so it's when safety goes awry, and it's a terrible thing. Pulteney, Vermont, not a big town, so I was amazed that they could actually get 3 cars together to crash into one another. But there you have it. Ha. Huh. Oh, no. A limited number of articles. Shut up, press citizen.
So much.
By the way,
I'm not going to pay you for your product, hardworking reporters.
An Iowa City man was arrested Sunday after he called cops to say he got stiffed on a drug deal. Police say Daniel P. Knowles, Sr., 57, called Iowa City Police at 11:30 a.m. on a Sunday to report that he sold some of his prescription medication to a friend, but that the friend had not paid him. While officers were en route to his residence, he called police 3 or 4 more times to see what was taking so long.
Was he drunk or not on his meds? What was the deal there?
Upon arrival, he told police he had given a friend 3 prescription pill bottles, about 230 pills total, with the agreement that he was to be paid $1.25 per pill. That's according to police. He said he planned to use the drug money for groceries and cigarettes.
See, don't admit to the cigarettes, dude. I could feel sorry for you if it was just for groceries, maybe.
He told police he didn't know selling prescription medication was illegal or he would have sold them a long time ago when he was on drugs.
Wow, full disclosure, dude.
He then admitted to smoking crack cocaine as recently as Wednesday and showed police a metal crack pipe with burnt residue on it.
Wow. I think he has issues. He
was charged with prohibited acts, a serious misdemeanor, and a simple misdemeanor count of possession of drug paraphernalia. I like that they've categorized in Iowa a serious misdemeanor as opposed to a simple one, though. That's that's a little legal classification that I enjoy. And by the way, hardworking reporter, my ass. That's somebody that pulled a police report and copied it over and threw in a couple of adverbs. That's all that is. I've added adverbs. I'm a journalist. No, you're not. You're not. Hey, sorry. It's true. What?
That's how I do my job. I'm just kidding.
You just add adverbs?
I add adjectives, participles, articles.
Oh, okay. Well, if you add articles and participles, then that's bigger.
Conjunctions.
Ooh.
Prepositional phrases. I'm just, yeah.
Anybody else having Schoolhouse Rock in their head right now? Just me?
Semicolons.
Oh, I hate when that happens.
I love semicolons.
Oh, who wouldn't?
What it is right. That's what I'm wondering. Oh, wow. I'm trying to look about the Intoxilock, but it's not very helpful. So never mind.
Yeah, that's kind of weird. But it's Wednesday, so it's time for this.
What? Guess what day it is?
I always have
Julie.
To...
Julie. Guess what day it is?
Have you heard this one yet?
I did. I was here. I think that was the last podcast.
Guess what day it is?
It's our little intermission in the show.
Yay. It's we all start dancing. Twerking, if you will.
Or enjoying a sip of beer.
The Chaim.
Mike. What day is it, Mike?
That crazy camel.
Oh, come on. I know you can hear me. Leslie, guess what today is? Leslie, guess what today is? Leslie, guess what today is? Leslie, guess what today is?
It's hump day.
Hey, while you're enjoying this, I want to remind everybody, if you'd like to support the show, the best way for you to do that is to do your Amazon shopping through NateDarlingShow.com. It's simple as pie. You go to NateDarlingShow.com, click the Shop Amazon tab, and then go about your Amazon shopping business as you normally would. It does not cost you anything extra, and it helps support the show.
I did that yesterday.
Excellent.
I bought a Christmas gift for my sister-in-law.
Oh, since you mentioned
it. I won't say what it is.
That's okay. But here's the thing. It's the best way to buy Christmas gifts. And here's why it is awesome. If you're traveling around to different places for different Christmases, as a lot of people do, what you can do on Amazon is they will gift wrap it for you, and you can have it shipped ahead. So you don't have to worry about, oh, did I remember to bring my sister-in-law's gift to XYZ place? Did I remember to do this? Do I have to wrap this? No, all taken care of for you.
Yep.
And
magic.
It's fantastic. That's kind of how I do my Christmas shopping for my dad. This year, I'm going to be there with him at Christmas, but I'm flying back to Vermont, so I don't really want to try and pack Christmas gifts in a suitcase because that's kind of a pain, and you know, you never know with the TSA and how they're going to handle stuff. So I'm going to do my shopping on Amazon. I'm going to have it shipped right there when I arrive Christmas Eve. When I walk in the door, he's going to have his Christmas gifts fully wrapped and ready to go.
Magic.
It's just that easy.
It's beautiful. But, and yeah, if you have Amazon Prime, then you can get the shipping for free.
Yeah, two-day shipping is free with Amazon Prime.
And while you're traveling to those far-off places, you can watch all that live streaming content.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And if you want to buy something extra, I think you can still do that through the show link.
Yes. Yep.
So it's the gift that keeps on giving to everybody.
Here's what I did. I went nutty. See, last week we had Arjun from Wallpaper on. And among the other things I did, because I went to Amazon through our site and I bought the new Wallpaper album, Ricky Reed Is Real, which is fantastic. We'll be hearing a version of that on the end of Friday's show, or one of the songs. Because it's Canadian Thanksgiving. I'm going to play a Canadian song at the end of this show. But then I got on this weird thing because they had all of these specials. Like, I got Dwight Yoakam's Greatest Hits album download, full album download for
$5. Oh, yeah. Yeah, I saw some of those.
So a ton of albums for downloads for $5. And if you get, like, an app on your phone, you can stream them from the cloud anywhere.
The cloud.
The cloud
is amazing.
It is. And I bought...
When that cloud dissipates, we are all going to be fucked.
The other thing I did is I actually bought a CD. I bought Bruce Springsteen and the E Street Band live in New York. And I mentioned this before with vinyl, but it goes for a lot of the CDs too. They have what's called auto rip, which means you buy the CD, they ship you the CD, but you get the full album MP3 download immediately.
I appreciate that. I like that. So, I feel like I should get that with books. But I don't.
It's fantastic because as you go through, a lot of the new computers don't have a disk drive with them because we've moved away from that as a media storage device.
Annoying.
So they don't have that. So to be able to just download the MP3, it means like, oh, I don't have to get an external drive and plug it in and go through that whole thing to rip it through. So Amazon is fantastic. So if you're going to go ahead and shop online, check out Amazon because the prices are good. It helps the show, and we love you.
I bought 40 pounds of cat litter by Amazon.
You almost said cat poop, didn't you?
No, I almost said cat food, but which is poop before it's processed.
And you didn't have to deal with hauling that in from your car.
Exactly. No, it was awesome. I loved it.
Your mailman loves you.
Yeah, I think FedEx delivered it.
There you go. Make those bad.
They're non-union. The chefs carried
them. Let me ask you this. Did since it was FedEx, did they just throw it at you?
They just dumped it in the back door, actually.
Well, that's FedEx for you.
Yeah.
So. Can I go off-brand and just share that I should have got a Kindle, I didn't get a Kindle.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll just put that out there up front.
Right.
So I have my Nook.
Yes.
My Nook tablet, which I do enjoy. It's okay.
Mm-hmm.
It's not the best. They don't have streaming stuff like Amazon does.
Right.
But because I now have all these books and stuff, Target, and because Nook or Barnes & Noble is getting out of the hardware Nook, the Nook's not going to be around very much longer.
Right.
They're deep discounting all this stuff. And so I bought myself another Nook.
You bought more hardware?
I bought a little Nook, but it's great. I love it, actually. It's the Nook Nook Glow, which is their version of the Kindle Paperwhite, which has a built-in. It's the e-ink, like just the actual e-reader.
Oh, neat.
And it's really cute.
It doesn't stream or anything, right?
I like it. It doesn't. No, it doesn't. Doesn't do that exciting tablet thing.
Have you guys seen the ad for the new Nexus 7?
I have not seen
that. With the kid it's a kid who has a public...
Who's nervous. Yeah.
The nervous kid who has a public speech to do. And he prepares for it with his new Nexus 7. And I have the first generation.
What is glossophobia? I think that's the commercial.
Yes, that's exactly the one. And he ends up Googling, how do you ask a girl out? Because one girl smiled at him during the speech.
That's pretty cute.
Because that's how it goes, by the way. If you make a speech in school, girls are really impressed by that. And you get all sorts of preteen tale.
It could happen.
I'm
maybe not.
Not sure.
Right.
Have you seen the awesome commercials for the wristband, the Samsung watch?
Yes.
That are
that's,
awesome.
That's crazy.
It's like Star Trek and Knight Rider and Penny. No. Penny from Inspector Gadget, who is like my spirit character. Who I want to be when I grow up.
Who's your
Penny.
brain?
Rob?
You know the dog.
I don't know. My dog Patches. Aww. May she rest in peace.
The one I saw was... basically Fox Sports did one with Fox Sports 1 and their anchors, and it's like, hey, take a selfie of me, and she's like, no, a selfie is one that you take of yourself. And that's what it's all based around. It's like, well, what about this watch phone thing? It's like, yeah, but the thing is, it's for the new Galaxy Note, which is a phone that's almost as big as a 7-inch tablet.
Right.
And the reason they put it on a watch is because you can never get that fucking phone out of your pocket.
Right.
It's like wedged in there.
It's huge. Dude, it's gigantic.
Yeah,
very good.
An apron.
Yeah.
With a big pouch in it. My phone's pretty big, too,
I could make
you
an apron with a pouch in it out of Hanukkah.
Out of clay.
Stuff. Out of clay.
Oh, apron. Make you out of clay. That would be heavy.
It would be
incredibly heavy.
Yes.
Hey, it's time for Florida Corner.
Oh, yay.
Yeah. This story I found very interesting.
How many machetes are in it? Don't tell us.
None. This one's about letters.
Oh, open letters?
No, all letters right. Sent home.
All right, I'll listen to
machetes.
The story then.
Machetes.
Yeah, machete kills. All right. I definitely want to see that.
You would.
What's in the background?
But one Collier County mother claims the notification she got about her daughter went too far, and we sent NBC2's Rick Ritter for the story. Now you be the judge.
You be
my
the judge.
First call was to
my
mother.
I'd love to judge.
To say,
thank you.
Am I crazy or is this wrong?
It was a day Kristen Grasso will never forget, one that put her daughter at the center of a controversial letter.
Don't send the letter home with the kids. How hard is it to put these letters in the mail?
Meet Naples sixth grader Lily Grasso. At 5'3", 127 pounds, the 11-year-old is a star volleyball player.
Lily is athletic. She's tall.
When school started last month, Lily brought home a letter from the Collier County Health Department, giving her
tall.
Parents the impression that she was being called overweight.
We found that all over the country, they call it the fat letter. And the kids received the fat letter. And we felt it was something she should at least know about.
Florida state law requires students to get health screenings at the start of the school year. In Lily's letter, her weight was labeled at risk.
It says at risk, and then it tells you to go to their website. And when you do that, the at risk then turns to
Lily is overweight.
Her parents, concerned about how the 11-year-old would respond.
She doesn't want to be bullied. She doesn't want to feel like the school may bully her.
The Collier County Health Department says it's part of a screening, one that urges parents to take their kids to the doctors and follow up, while noting the body mass index could be off for kids that are athletes.
We always want parents to realize, and it says so in the letter, that it's only a screening tool.
Millsap says their intention is to never single out a child, but the Grossos wonder why even conduct a test that has the chance of being wrong while potentially damaging a child's self-esteem.
This letter can do no good. If a kid is overweight, they know they're overweight.
No, they don't.
Okay.
Oh, man.
Let me start with this. And I don't know where everyone's going to fall on this, because I saw this on the Today Show first, and then I found this. The letter was sent home to the parents. It was sent home with the kid. So the kid knew a letter was coming home. And if the parents had the conversation with the kid about the letter, then that would have been the end of it. But instead, they went to the local news station, and now not only does everybody in the school know that a letter was sent home, it went to the Today Show. So everybody in the country knows that a letter was sent home with this 11-year-old girl. And the school isn't who bullies. It's other kids who bully. And the other kids didn't have access to this letter or even the knowledge that was in it until, I don't know, your parents went to the news station. So what do you guys think? I mean, I understand why the school is doing it. They want to identify kids who are at risk. And it's body mass index is a terrible indicator, because
such bullshit.
Everybody in the NFL would be morbidly obese.
It's totally outdated means of assessing one's health. It's true.
Well, it is, and it's really just height versus weight.
Right.
So it doesn't take into account how much muscle you have. There, I mean, we've gone far beyond that being an accurate tool.
Yeah.
But in terms of the school sending home a letter, what do you guys think about that?
I don't know. I don't know that it's bad to send the letter home. I'm trying to remember if we had screenings like that at school.
I don't think so. That's a relatively new thing.
We had health screens. I remember there were screenings for, like, in gym class, there was the do you have scoliosis screening?
Sure.
We had, like, spine check, and you did all the kind of fitness test things, which are pretty low bar.
Yeah.
Even me and, like, the D group of gym managed to pass them enough. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I think it's fine that they made it like a media thing. They did it because the girl's not overweight. So it's like, okay to talk about it, because she's not a
right.
little fatty.
No.
So they're not really subjecting her to people going along and being like, well, yeah, but she is fat. Because she's not. She's a
right.
normal looking, on the slender side, athletic girl. She's fine. I don't know. You know,
But their original contention was it should have been mailed home and not sent home with the kid.
Fine.
But that would have been like 43 cents per student. And
it's like 48,
yeah, whatever. In these tough economic times.
Yeah.
Ted, what do you think?
I think you're right to make a big ado about her. The worry about her being bullied by the school sounds ridiculous. I mean, if they want to bring attention to the fact that this is a ridiculous way to assess the health of their child, that's one thing.
If they had said she has to go to like a special gym class, they'd like pull her away from her volleyball team or something, that it's still not bullying, but that's more of a, you know, the school's interfering with her, whatever. But if it's just a screening that they have to have, it's okay.
Yeah, and these are the results.
I mean, I had to bring my report card home. I carried it home. I don't know. Kids bring things to their parents.
That's
sometimes.
Bullying. If you didn't get a good enough grade.
I don't know. I think.
It's overuse of the word bullying.
Yeah. I think that's where we fall into it, where everybody. Adam Carolla tells a story about his son. He's got 6-year-old twins, 7-year-old twins, mm-hmm. and a boy and a girl. And one of the stories he tells about is his son said he was bullied at school today. And he goes, well, what do you mean you were bullied? And he goes, well, I was talking to this kid and he put his fingers in his ears and didn't want to listen to me. So I was bullied.
Oy vey.
That's not bullying.
That kid's a Nazi, not a bully. I'm just kidding. Speaking of overused terms.
Yeah.
No sorry, in there. So that's going on in Florida, but that's not the only thing going on in Florida. Let me get the music back here, because it's important. Now we can sort of hear it. There we go. It's not really Florida Corner without the music, but Sometimes you got to turn it down for the news report. It appears an accused hooker's cat and mouse game with a cop landed her a date with the judge. An undercover Daytona Beach cop who was working in an area known for street prostitution called out to a woman, "Hey, baby doll, you working?" Once the woman, identifying as Christina Marie Ferrara, 21, entered an unmarked police car, she immediately asked the John if he was a cop. She then demanded he touch her breasts to prove that he was not a law enforcement officer. That's according to the arrest report. When the undercover officer told her that there were people nearby and he was reluctant to touch her, Ferrara asked to exit the car. That's according to the police report. Too late, since she allegedly asked the cop to touch her boobs on a public roadway in view of people, she committed a different crime, offering or agreeing to a lewd or indecent act.
Oy vey.
Yeah. What the hell? What the hell?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know
you're a lawyer. What would you say? I mean, I know you don't do criminal stuff.
Yeah, I don't do that.
But if someone were to come to you and give you that scenario, what would your reaction be immediately? And again, not that you don't know Florida law necessarily.
I don't know Florida law. Usually, my best advice to anybody is just stop talking.
Yeah, there's that.
Everybody stop talking.
Don't be a prostitute. I don't know.
Yeah, that's one. Maybe. That's a useful one, I think.
I guess as a lawyer, it's not your job.
Couldn't you have like a citizen's arrest for kidnapping at that point since she asked to leave the car? I don't know. It's weird. It's Florida, right? I know.
It's Florida.
But
yeah, I don't know about that one.
I've never heard of that. So if you say show me your dick or whatever to the police, you can get arrested for having him do something indecent too?
Well, I mean,
soliciting a wiener?
Yeah,
I don't know.
I don't know. Like, I mean, touch my boobs? I mean, by the way, that should never be a crime for a lady to say, touch my boobs. Just saying. Let me just stand up for everybody right now and just say that a lady should be able to ask anyone to touch her boobs at any time and not fear reprisal or prosecution.
You know, the two things about this that I think of are, one, that whole, like, hey, man, if you're a cop, you have to tell me thing. That's not true. That's right. Not a thing that exists. But the other thing is we never got to the chapter on entrapment in criminal law, which is as far as I got.
You're not going to need
that. I don't know. It was one of those chapters that gets skipped in a lot of classes. Like, that's, you just don't.
Weird.
And so I don't know the rules on that, but a lot of stuff sometimes it seems like entrapment.
And it does differ. It does differ from state to state. So,
right.
So it's what would be the case in California might not be the case in Florida. But right. I just thought that was just a really weird story.
It is.
Even for Florida.
It is. Yes.
So, yeah. Leave the poor hookers alone. They're just out there trying to do a hooker.
Actually, you know what? I expect in Florida the cop would have felt her boobs and then have her arrested. That's a Florida move,
well,
I guess.
Well, that's like that. What was that thing in New York where the undercover cop like helped beat a guy?
Well, that was a more convoluted story.
I don't know about that one, but yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, sometimes they go ahead and participate.
The story you're talking about was there was some sort of confrontation between a family in an SUV and a group of motorcycle riders.
Oh, right,
yeah.
And basically there was a cop. It wasn't necessary. It was an undercover cop, but he wasn't working undercover at the time. He was off duty.
Duty.
And he was just in that group. And what he allegedly did was smash the window on the SUV, and then he took off before the other motorcyclists grabbed the guy and hit him or whatever. I'm not familiar with all the details, but and the SUV driver felt threatened, tried to take off, and sort of ran over one of the motorcyclists. So it was just a bad situation.
It was a mess. I was confusing to me too.
Yeah, it was a bad situation, yeah. And an off-duty cop involved in that, and sort of took the coward's way out, where it's like, I'm going to create a diversion by smashing the window and riding away. Yay!
I'm not on duty. I can do it.
Yeah. Well, a lot of weird things happen in a car.
Oh, that's a
segue. It's true. In Beaverton, Oregon, police were called out to a parking lot of a library last Sunday after a witness reported seeing a man masturbating in his car. Officers got the call at 5 p.m. and responded to the Beaverton City Library. They found the suspect, Robert Leatherman, probably no relation to the famous tool of Clackamas, in his car, although you never know. Police say Leatherman initially denied that he had been masturbating and said he had reclined in his seat to shave.
That is quite a story.
To shave what?
As the conversation continued, police said Leatherman admitted to loading up pornography on his cell phone and inappropriately touched himself. He told police he'd been at a friend's house watching football and stopped by the library to return some books.
gross. Why do you have to do it in front of a library, dude?
Well, he figured there was nobody there.
Ran out of shaving cream, so I needed to produce my own.
Once gross. At the library, he said he had an erection and did not want to get out of his car while he was in that condition. Well, that's nice. He assured officers it was the first time he had done something like this and promised it would never happen again. However, they arrested him on the charge of public indecency and booked him into the Washington County Jail. Police said he does not have any past criminal history. So it was, in fact, the first time he'd been caught doing it. But that is a novel excuse.
Yeah.
I will give him credit for that.
Well done. I just want to say now in two-day-old sports news, Dodgers leading 3-0, top of the ninth.
Spoiler. There we go.
I'm pretty psyched.
In other sports news, Aces playing with
Aces
a bottle
winning
cap.
Yes. Against the bottle cap.
One man bottle cap. One cat, sorry.
Cat bottle cap.
Watch cat. Your tongue, Ace.
Yeah.
Little shit sharp.
Now, we mentioned breathalyzers earlier in the show.
We did.
Sometimes you really should have to have one. Duluth, Minnesota, Taco Bell's current slogan encourages folks to live moss. But after allegedly driving drunk and smashing into a Duluth restaurant four separate times on a Sunday morning, one local teen might want to tone things down a bit. At about 12:30 a.m. on a Sunday, a Gwinnett County police officer was patrolling near the intersection of Pleasant Hill Road and Satellite Boulevard when he heard tires screeching and a woman yelling for help. He would soon discover that 19-year-old Armando Lupercio had... had driven his pickup truck off the road and into a tree before continuing through the parking lot and smashing into a glass facade of a Taco Bell. And he was not done yet. I'm not going to make any Hispanic jokes in the Taco Bell. Don't worry. As the officer responded, he reportedly watched as Lupercio drove around the corner of the restaurant and crashed into the building for a second time. He then backed up and hit the building again. Two women and the officer were standing in the drive-thru lane when the truck took off again. Quote, I felt the driver's intent was to strike an object or a person within the path of the truck. The responding officer wrote, I saw the truck strike one of the aforementioned women's vehicles as it sped past. The truck made a sharp left turn and struck the building. That's four times.
Yeah.
He allegedly continued to rev the engine before the officer coaxed him out by drawing his weapon.
Coax you out?
That I don't think that's coaxing.
Yeah, I don't.
That's what's more ordering. Coaxing would be like, hey, if you come out, I'll give you a chalupa. pointing a gun at somebody and going, get the fuck out of the truck, motherfucker, is not coaxing.
Here.
It's not coaxing.
It's language is important, kids.
Yeah.
Upon exiting his vehicle, the officer said he noticed a faint odor of alcohol.
yeah, he did.
Glazed eyes and slurred speech. The Duluth resident reportedly registered a 0.142 blood alcohol content, which is not quite double the DUI threshold of 0.08. That was on a breath test administered at the police precinct, so it was probably a little higher earlier. He was arrested and charged with driving under the influence, possession of alcohol by a minor, hit and run, improper lane change. Way to tack one on.
Yeah, just slap that one in there.
Felony first.
He didn't signal we hit the building.
First degree criminal damage to property and two counts of aggravated assaults. The latter three are felonies. As of this past Monday, he remained in jail on $47,600 bond.
Did you see what his reason was?
I'm sorry, but the gas pedal was stuck.
Yeah, it was. And you were drunk off your ass, dude.
Well, there's that.
Yeah.
It makes it hard to unstick the gas pedal when you're really hammered.
0.142, geez.
It's not quite double the legal limit.
What's a lethal percentage? Does anyone know offhand?
I think 0.2.
Okay.
I think somewhere in that neighborhood.
When would you
blood alcohol content?
Oh, it's higher than 0.2.
Is it 0.25?
Yeah. No, 0.3? It's way higher. Oh, okay.
0.4?
I knew a guy who blew a 0.34.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah.
I think it depends on if you're an alcoholic, too. If you're an alcoholic, you can have a lot more in your system because your system is used to processing that much. So an amount that might kill someone who drinks occasionally or never would be just another Sunday, too.
So, really, anyone who's an alcoholic should be able to drive with a 0.08 because it's really not a lot of booze for them, is what you're saying.
And they've got practice.
Yeah, okay.
As long as they do it with one eye closed so they can sight down that line on the edge of the road, I think they're good.
Perfect.
By the way, this is a comedy podcast, by the way. just want to point that out.
It was satire.
For anybody who doesn't get, I'm joking.
Yeah, jerks.
Because if you don't get I'm joking, then I don't know what to do with you.
We'd love you, though.
You don't know where that finger's been.
That's right.
Was that a random sound drop?
It was.
Okay.
You ever seen a grown man naked?
Yay, airplane.
Yeah, that's right.
It's the Nate Darling Show.
Welcome to our little town.
Small town news.
All right, back to Vermont for more small town news.
Small town news.
Although, it comes from the Burlington International Airport.
I was really hoping it would come from the Coat Factory. Sorry.
It is not. By the way, New Burlington Coat Factory opened in Natomas.
Yay!
I haven't been yet.
I don't really know.
I haven't been yet. But I know on Fox 40 News in the morning the other day, they cut the ribbon live on TV.
Wow.
It was exciting.
You guys get all the scoops.
Mm-hmm. Are people that excited about Burlington Coat Factory?
They were lined
up. It's more than great coats, okay?
Oh, sorry.
Dude, they were lined up for hours before it opened.
Wow. Okay. I guess I'm not a big coat person.
There you go. They sell more than coats, Ted. You weren't listening.
I was listening, but I tuned it out. Anyway. Sorry.
Well, everything is back to normal at the Burlington Airport after an evacuation last Friday morning.
Whatever, good lead.
See, around 5 a.m., people started tweeting out photos of the scene where you could see fire trucks. Yeah, fire trucks. Airport officials say the fire alarm went off. That forced them to evacuate the building. There was about a half an hour delay while everyone got back through security and equipment was pulled back online. But airport officials told Channel 3 News that they're pleased with how they handled the busiest part of their day and said it could have been a lot worse because that's when everybody's getting out on their business flights and stuff.
Is Christian on Facebook again?
What did I do? Actually, I didn't tag anybody.
I believe you hashtag go blue.
I did hashtag go blue. But that wouldn't come up. That wouldn't make
it a little
bit of a
noise. He tracks you on
Facebook. It did, actually.
Oh, really?
That's what it was.
While you've been gone for the past couple of weeks, like, we hear those things and it's, oh, Christiana, what's she doing? planning an event.
Here's where a fire evacuation of an airport becomes small town news. The cause of the fire alarm? Any guesses?
Well,
if you know, don't guess.
Okay.
I don't know. I didn't read the story. Was it a burning cow?
No.
I don't know.
Close.
A burning coat. Ooh. Burning Coat Factory.
Oh, they sell more than coats.
Nope. The cause of the fire alarm, burnt toast.
Oh.
Burnt toast.
Man.
That's right. Burnt toast shut down the Burlington International Airport.
That's a very sad set of affairs. How does that happen?
I'm guessing someone was having a bagel. Or something like that. It's not just bagels. Aren't just for Jews, Ted.
Not anymore.
I know. Have them everywhere. Yeah, Burlington International Airport is very small. I will be flying in there in December. And
I've been there.
You've been to the Burlington International Airport.
I've been there. Yeah, they have those cool like rocking chairs and that walkway with a nice view.
They do. It's actually
very homey. It's very small.
Yeah, when you describe an airport as homey, I think that says a lot about it.
That's how I like my airports, you know.
But it's interesting because you walk in and you've got the three different counters of all of the three airlines that service it. And you can either go to the right or go to the left, depending on which airline you're flying out on. And you get there, and it's like, oh, you need to get to the airport this early to get through everything. No, you don't.
I almost got detained by TSA at the Burlington Airport.
Oh, my God.
For trying to get a cake server through in my checked luggage.
A cake server?
Yep.
Like a little,
spatula cake server thing from the Danforth pewter store in downtown Burlington.
Stab someone in
the eye. And I asked the gate agent, and she's like, that's fine. And the TSA guy's like, this is a serrated edge. What are you talking about? He's like, I'm going to have to write you up. And I'm like, for what? Where does this information go?
I had to write you up. It's on your permanent record.
I had to go
now.
Back and check my bag.
Oh, my God.
It was a thing. It was a whole big thing.
Yeah, you never know. You could in fact, take a crew member or another passenger and cut them into triangles and serve them up. these things can happen.
Yep.
They happen.
Didn't have a tiny serrated edge. So.
They happen every day.
I still have that cake cutter.
Oh, well, at least you were able
pretty.
To keep it.
Yeah.
They didn't be like, all right, well, here's the deal. You can either go back or you can throw it away. Thing is, in Burlington, you actually can go back.
Yeah.
Because your bag is literally 10 feet away from where you left it.
That's the benefit of a small airport.
In a real airport, you can't do that because going back is not an option. Just not.
Right.
Anyway, that's going to do it for this episode of The Nate Darling Show. Thank you all for joining us. Remember, shop Amazon through our site because we love you. Please. Anyway, happy Canadian Thanksgiving week to all of our Canadian friends out there. We love Canada, poutine, Molson, the Canadian Football League, and hockey. At least I do. So, go Canada.
Actually, I like poutine, even though it's not vegetarian.
It's not at all. There you go.
Can they put vegetarian gravy on there?
I don't know. Is there vegetarian gravy? What would that be made of?
Mulch? I don't know.
Yeesh.
Yeast?
Maybe? I don't know. Okay. We'll talk about that later. Right. Anyway, we'll leave you with a Canadian classic from Bachman Turner Overdrive. This is Take It Like a Man on The Nate Darling Show. We'll see you Friday.